This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
You know, had our team meetings thing we did when the team gathered together was to kind of give Andre a little send-off and let him know about our appreciation and congratulations on his selection and soon-to-be induction in the National Football League Hall of Fame.
Patriots podcast live from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough.
It's great to have running backs. Good to see him out there yesterday. He's got a confidence and a presence out there. You know, I'm sure everybody on the field, not just the defensive backs, but all the defensive players, the coaches, the offensive players, you know, they feel that presence. They feel that confidence. And I feel kind of that air that he brings, you know, when he walks onto the field.
Now, with your Patriots 2008 training camp updates, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Welcome back to Gillette Stadium, a very special day here in Foxborough. I don't know if it's official or unofficial, but it's Andre Tippett Day around here. As most of you probably know, Saturday night he'll be inducted into the Hall of Fame. He addressed the media this morning at a press conference. Then he addressed some of the employees here at Gillette Stadium around lunchtime. And then after practice he went out and addressed the crowd here at the practice fields. And I want to urge you to stick around through the end of this podcast. I know you probably shut them off before it reaches the conclusion. But this one, stick to the end. We will bring you Robert Kraft's words after practice, Andre Tippett's words after practice in its entirety.
Which took place in front of the team and
in
the
front
fans
of the team
on the field.
The bulk of the
was
team was
cool.
Out there to send off Andre Tippett. You know, it's kind of funny. He walks through and he's sort of like royalty kind of passing through. You see guys like Wesley Britt just stick a hand out. Teddy Bruschi wrapped his arms around him. But that was after practice. And this is a training camp practice podcast, so we'll get to the action first. Tom Brady, not on the field today, Paul Perillo. He was one in a long list that you will tell our listeners about right now.
Not really that long, but obviously the most noteworthy. Tom Brady, more than likely getting a little day off for, you know, personal mental health day, you know, like most of the veterans do, but Brady, Jason Webster, James Sanders, Vince Redd, Anthony Clement, Matt Light, David Thomas. Along with the now 9 members of PUP with Rodney's return last night. All the other 6, 7 of those guys, counting Brady, the other 6 all missed practice last night at the very minimum. Some of them have missed multiple practices. In the case of Jason Webster and Matt Light, I think this makes the 6th straight practice that they have not been present for. So probably something to draw some mild concern anyway on the part of Light and Jason Webster, because can't just fluff that off as a veteran kind of thing. But Brady today, Andy, would you assume one of those days that maybe
Bill, I know of a specific injury, I assume just a veteran day off. We should touch on some, before we break down practice a little bit, some of the other tidbits from practice. Fernando Bryant looked like he twisted a knee maybe in a pass breakup in which actually Tank Williams deflected the ball and Brandon Merriweather then cradled it in for an interception. And ran down the field. Tank Williams, trainers came out, looked at him, you know, I would say longer than just a casual sort of walk it off type thing. But in the end, he did stand up and walk off the field. I did not see him return for the conclusion of the full pads practice out here at Gillette Stadium. So I would say that is a mild concern at this point as we move forward. Keep an eye on that, because now you're talking about the two main veterans they brought in, Webster and Bryant. If they're dealing with something, now you don't have the mix that you kind of wanted coming into camp between the experience and the youth.
Yeah, I'm not overly concerned about Bryant, and it's dangerous when you make the medical evaluations from afar. But like David Thomas a couple of days ago, for example, looked like he had something happen, talked to the trainers for a while, left the field. We haven't seen him back at practice since. Now, right. He was out there for the walkthrough yesterday morning, but hasn't been in pads since then. Bryant today, Andy just described what happened to him. Not really sure exactly what the injury was or not, but he stayed out there, was, you know, moving around. I would think if it was
but
something...
But did not return, correct?
I didn't remember him going back in any drills.
Okay.
I didn't see him going back in a drill. But I think if it's one of those things that he needs treatment or they want to go evaluate, take an X-ray, do something, they get him off the field and do that.
The only thing
quick.
I'd say is just his history would kind of
sure.
make you want to. He,
look,
he has
both,
an injury.
Both of those
history.
Guys, Webster and Bryant, have you know, pretty checkered past when it comes to injuries. So you don't want to deem anything minor or insignificant at this point.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the practice. A lot of down and distance work with the offense, and then the defense. Then some 2-minute work with offense, defense. They kind of closed up practice with some two-minute work, which was the twos against the twos. But earlier on when they were running different, I don't want to call them all ones because there's a lot of different
variations. Running the show
right,
the offense.
But you have Nick Kasher at left tackle, and you got guys moving all around. The quarterbacks is what I wanted to talk about, kind of get your reaction as to what you saw from Castle, Gutierrez, and then even O'Connell, I would say, got a decent handful of reps throughout the down and distance.
Yeah, I thought most of his stuff actually happened before the team periods, but with Castle and Gutierrez, I think okay. I don't think that either one. I thought Castle was better than Gutierrez today, but I don't think either one of them set the world on fire. I don't think either one of them looked really bad. I thought they were okay. They made some good plays. They made some not so good plays. Gutierrez made a really tight throw down the seam, I think, to Sam Aiken, if I'm not mistaken, and then later on in the practice, try to get in the two minute drill that you were talking about, Andy, try to get one quick on the sideline to Aiken. Mike Richardson stepped in front, picked it off for probably what would have been a touchdown. Castle, he completed some balls that I didn't think necessarily were very accurately thrown
behind
some
guys.
Some of them back shoulder. One that was an excellent throw that was back shoulder, I thought, intentionally, was to Watson in the end zone. Mm-hmm. On a down and distance work down in the red zone, and
I think he threw a couple behind Moss.
Yeah, he had Moss really made him look good.
Oh yeah,
not surprisingly,
which is what
he
does.
He makes Brady look good too at times, but Moss made a catch today that was just, if anybody else makes that catch and you're writing 4 or 5 paragraphs about it, he went up like Antonio Cromartie made that interception last year against Peyton Manning. One hand got the point of the ball, maybe tipped it to himself a little bit, but I think he just cradled it into himself.
Great catch.
Just it was behind him. It was well high. It would have definitely been intercepted had Moss not gotten a hand on it. And he makes the catch as he's falling to the ground. The guy just amazes you every single day.
And I don't know how to react to that. I'm a little torn as a Patriots observer because last year he did nothing. And then he comes out and you're like, is he using up too many of these plays in training camp action? But certainly we've seen it. When he's on the field, he is the best player on the field. And I would include, in terms of skills, Tom Brady in that. Because Moss just wows you with physical ability in the way that a Michael Vick would at a quarterback in terms of his speed, or a John Elway would in terms of his arm strength. Randy Moss just has the pure physical tools that absolutely wow you every time he's out there, and it doesn't matter who's throwing to him because he's going to make, as you said, the one-handed catches and the acrobatic catches, and he had one that was behind him in the end zone crossing, and he kind of bobbled it for a second but still hauled it in and got his feet down for the
that
touchdown.
That was one of the ones that I thought that was really poorly thrown
by
Castle.
It was behind him.
It
should have been an easy, picture-perfect touchdown with the ball in front of him, and it's behind him. It makes it a lot more difficult
than
it needs
to be. And it was frustrating because if you're a Castle fan, you know, like I am, and I know that really not a lot of other people are, but you looked at him and
his mom likes him.
Well, he was very comfortable he looked very comfortable running the show, and we both talked about this in the tent. I thought he looked like he was in command. He gets back there, right on his back foot, bang, the ball is out right when it's supposed to be. He was open coming across that back line. We see that touchdown a lot last year with Brady, and he was open, and I thought there was a good alley because we had it coming right at us. It was one of the rare times where they were doing something right in front of us. And the throw was just bad.
Right.
It was behind him. I mean, anybody but Moss probably struggles to make that catch.
Right. Defensively, I will say, guys flying around a little bit, especially in the secondary. On that play I mentioned where Brian actually got banged up, they were using sort of a unique defense, four-man
really
line.
Where
they
had 4-4 alignment. Really.
Yeah, and we're going to have problems this year if Tank Williams plays, deciding what they
what
are
he's
playing.
Doing.
Because,
yeah.
And, that's part of it, I'm sure, for defenses. I mean, for offenses as well. But I thought a lot of bodies flying around, Rodney flying around a little bit. I thought Brandon Merriweather was sort of all over the field, balls tipped in the air.
I think Merriweather's looked good in this camp, and I mentioned that yesterday in my update. I don't know how you feel about it, Andy, but I think he's been extremely active.
And he caught the ball today, which is always a plus for him because
it took him a few.
Hasn't done that in the past.
He caught it 3 or 4 times, but he held on.
Antoine Spahn getting some reps in the absence of James Sanders now, a couple workouts. I think he's had a very good training camp.
I think he has.
I think he's making a serious push for a roster spot this early point in camp when you combine special teams ability and his coverage ability, I think, as a corner turned safety. So I think defensively, we talk about the offense a lot, and defensively it's almost like you only write about them when they get, a big play or an interception, but I think there were some bodies flying around out there, batted balls. Pierre Woods got a hand on one of Castle's passes. Seymour or Warren, a few, you know, the kind of defensive linemen converging.
Warren and Seymour, I thought, had very strong days.
So I think
rushing the pass.
Defensively, I thought there were a lot of bodies just flying around today. Sean Crable got some reps with the first unit in Adalys Thomas'
slot. A lot of stuff going on out there today.
Yeah, it was interesting. Kevin O'Connell, I wanted to mention, showing sort of as a young quarterback. I think it might have been his first snap. Broke the huddle and then had to re-huddle because something wasn't right.
He didn't have total
control. Had to re-huddle before they did their first snap. So a lot going on there with the quarterbacks. And then defensively, I thought there was a lot going on everywhere. Up front, linebacker, safety, Tank Williams. So I thought it was an interesting practice dealing with the passing game primarily.
And another thing that was noticeable was Rodney. You know, his presence, his physical presence in the secondary.
Yeah, after that pick, I saw him taking a swing at somebody.
He came back last night. He was back for the evening practice last night, and was really quiet. Didn't do a whole lot.
What's up, Paparillo?
And not much, Rodney, but he came in, and he was racking skulls today. I mean, he had a couple of hits on running plays where he came over. The one that you just talked about after the interception where he was just dying to hit somebody. Asked him about it afterwards with the big group around him. He just smiled and said he wanted to give Lawrence Maroney a little kiss. And, you know, I think that he brings that edge to the field. And it's fun in training camp when you have a little of that. I mean, not too much. I think he might have taken it a little step too far on Sam Aiken in the end zone on one of those red zone plays where he really separated him from the ball.
A line in the sand, Rodney straddled it a little bit.
But he looks great. He's excited to be out there, obviously, after missing the first four
excited
or five days.
To help
days.
The ball club any way he can.
Sure.
Anyway, that's going to put the wraps on it.
I'm just happy to be here.
We are, too. We're excited that our
one
listeners
one more thing,
are
Andy.
I apologize. I always got something else.
One more thing. Chris Hansen.
Boomer.
Bombing away today.
I'm going to call him Boomer.
He was that impressive that I felt like we needed to make
Boomer,
that.
Yes. Now you done?
I'm done.
Okay. And now what we're going to do, because it is Andre Tippett Day, a very special day here at Gillette Stadium, very special week for Andre Tippett. I urge you all to watch the ceremony Saturday. He is ready to go. He's been practicing the speech. He's like a stand-up comic out there.
He's going to be the first one.
Yes.
Six o'clock.
NFL
ESPN,
Network.
NFL Network.
NFL Network, it says here, Andy Hart. But also, Paul Perillo says ESPN if you want to tune in there. But you can hear a sneak preview of what Tippett has to say, thanking everyone in this very special today where he addressed the team. Talk to Robert Kraft and talk to the crowd out here at Gillette.
This is a very special week for Andre Tippett, the Patriots organization, and all of us who are fans of the New England Patriots. You know, 26 years ago, in 1982, the Patriots drafted Andre. And for the next decade, he was the most dominant defender in the NFL. In 1984, he had 18 and a half sacks. A franchise record. In 1985, he had 16 and a half sacks. 35 sacks back to back, an NFL record for linebackers. And remember, he did that in a division with two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Jim Kelly up in Buffalo and Dan Marino down in Miami. And for those of you who don't remember, the first 12 times that Andre Tippett's Patriots faced Don Shula's Dolphins, along with Dan Marino as quarterback, the Patriots won 9 out of 12. Starting with that great win streak of 7 games, the original game we squished the fish down in the Orange Bowl. The franchise is now 48 years old, and there is one Hall of Fame player who played only for the Patriots, John Hanna. This Saturday at 6, we introduce the number one defensive player for the Patriots, Andre Tippett. But But I must say, when we bought the team 14 years ago, our desire was to create a brand and a legacy that all of you fans throughout the country who are Patriot fans could be proud of. And I must tell you that it's my hope and desire that in a very short years, we'll have a number of these players joining John and Andre. It is my personal pleasure now to introduce the greatest defensive player in the history of the New England Patriots and my personal friend, Andre Tippett.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you all. Today has been a wonderful send-off. I couldn't ask for anything better. First, it started with me spending the time, a little bit of time with Mr. Kraft. And Robert, thank you for agreeing to be my presenter. You've given us so much as fans and followers of the New England Patriots. And I think that to have you present in Canton is the greatest honor that I think that you deserve to have. So thank you for that. My day, I didn't know how my day was going to go, and I was told by Stacey James that we had a lot of things planned, and my wife went to go get my kids out of camp so we could get ready to take off to go to Canton, and I get a call this morning, and I'm told to show up in the team meeting room, and I got nervous because I thought maybe I did something wrong to piss Bill off. So I was a little nervous, but I tell you what, I won't share what went on, but I tell you that I am very much appreciative of that special moment that I had in that team locker room. And you guys, and you all know who you are, that I think the world of a lot of you guys. And I think that what you've done for this organization and how hard you guys have worked, I just take my hat off to you. I continue to be indebted to you guys because of what you've done around here. It made me even more prouder to be a New England Patriot and a former player. And you, the coaches, you guys know that. You know that. It doesn't have to be said, but I wanted the fans here of New England to understand the special relationship that I have and the respect that I have for you all as a football player. We often talk about – go ahead, please. We often talk about the price that's paid to play this game. This isn't a game that anybody can just show up and pay a little money and get here. As you watch these guys and throughout the rest of the summer, these guys are paying their dues now. And everything that happens in the National Football League, there is a price to pay. These guys continue to pay the price now while they're still playing. I paid a price, and as a result of that price, I got pretty lucky, and I got some people that realized that the Hall of Fame is where I belong, and I am so happy to be on my way there. I wish we could all go out there. I wish we could take a caravan out there, but I hope you guys stay tuned on ESPN and the NFL Network. It is going to be a great opportunity for my family. I got so many people here. I got some friends and people that have been great supporters of me. I want to thank all those guys for coming out here. And I got some of my Pop Warner football players here. So short speeches make for great friends, and I want to thank you guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.